Good evening, everyone. We'll make a wee start just to our meeting tonight. We're going to sing just the first hymn just in our wee hymn sheet. And it's a great hymn of praise. The hymn writer says, "Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious measure, sung by flaming tongues above. Oh, the vast, the boundless treasure of my Lord's unchanging love." And praise God, when we're saved, we can rejoice in the unchanging love of Christ toward us day by day. We'll keep our seats while we sing, and singing it unto the Lord with all of our hearts. Unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us just look afresh to the Lord tonight, praying for that sense of the Lord's presence, and that the Lord will draw near and warm our hearts around His Word and around the things of God this evening. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal, heavenly Father, we bow humbly and reverently tonight in Thy holy presence. We come to Thee tonight in no merit of our own. But, O God, we come to Thee tonight through Christ, our Redeemer, our Saviour, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And, Father, we thank Thee that Christ bare our sin in His own body to the tree. Father, we thank Thee that He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And, Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee that with His stripes we are healed. We thank Thee tonight, O God, for Thy so great salvation in our lives as Thy people. We thank Thee, O God, for that day and hour and our own experience when Thou didst cause us to see our need of Christ, and Thou didst open our eyes, the understanding of our hearts, to see our lost condition. And Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace and mercy and kindness toward us and drawing us to Christ, whom to know is life eternal. And Father, we rejoice, O God, this evening that Thou art one that saves and keeps forever the saints of God. And we thank Thee, Father, for the forgiveness of sins tonight through the blood of Christ, that blood that cleanseth us from all sin. We rejoice, O God, tonight in Thy word that tells us there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We realize, O God, that we deserve the judgment of God for our sins. Yet, O God, we thank that Christ is our substitute, bore that judgment for us. He stood in our stead. And Father, we thank Thee that through faith in Him we have life eternal and life more abundant. And O God, we just praise Thee and thank Thee for all Thy mercies to us. How the hymn writer could say, daily I'm a debtor constrained to Thee. And O Lord, we realize that it is of Thee that we live and move and have our being, that every good and every perfect gift, it comes from Thee. And Father, we just thank Thee tonight for Thy mercy and Thy grace that finds us here in the house of the Lord with the saints of God to hear of Thy work at home and afar. And Lord, just bless us tonight here in this meeting house. We pray for a real sense of the presence of God. And Father, cleanse our hearts afresh, we ask of Thee. Father, outpour Thy Holy Spirit upon us tonight, we pray. Shut us in, Lord, with Thyself, and close out every distracting thought and care that is not of Thee, we pray. Father, we thank Thee for all who have been able to come tonight. Bless every head bowed in Thy presence. Bless every family and household, O God, that is represented. Meet the need of all our hearts and all our lives, we pray. We thank Thee that Thou art altogether sufficient. And Father, we pray that Thou would bless and encourage every child of Thine this night, we pray. Lead them on with Thyself and bless us as Thy people in these days. And help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power, O God, of Thy might. We remember, Lord, those that cannot come tonight because of age or sickness or infirmity. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt bless them, that Thou wilt minister to them, that Thou wilt strengthen them. Others that are shielding, we pray that Thou watch over them and protect them. And others, Lord, that have suffered loss in recent times, we pray that Thou wilt comfort their hearts by the grace and power of God. Again, we thank Thee for Thy presence and blessing with this last Lord's Day. Bless the word that has been sown to all who heard, especially those that were in unseen. Lord, speak on to them, we pray, and save them by the grace and power of God. Bless all those also who are listening in online tonight, whoever they are, wherever they might be, we pray. Pray that Thou wilt bless them, that Thou wilt meet them, Lord, at the very point of their need, and that Thou wilt encourage them in the things of the Lord. Bless our land tonight, O God. Remember other prayer meetings such as this, and gospel missions on at this time, and just every faithful effort in the gospel. We pray for the blessing of God to be upon it, that Thou wilt build Thy church, and that Thou, Lord, will extend Thy kingdom. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy servant tonight who has come to minister and to speak to us upon the work of the revival movement and the Every Home Crusade. We do thank Thee, Lord, for this work and for Thy hand of blessing upon it over the years and for the going forth of Thy word near and far. And Father, we pray that Thou would bless this ministry, and we pray that through its every effort, we pray that the word of the Lord will have free course, and the precious souls will be saved, and Thy kingdom will be built and strengthened across the world. Bless Your servant tonight. Fill him with Thy Holy Spirit, O God, as he brings the word of God and brings that report, Lord. We pray that he will know the hand of God upon him for good, we pray. And that, Father, Thou would bless him tonight and make him a blessing as he declares what the Lord has done and what the Lord is doing through this ministry, we pray. Abide with us now, we ask of Thee. Glorify the Savior and all that will be said and done. And Lord, may we leave this meeting house tonight and knowing of a truth the blessing of God, and that it was good for us to have been here. For we pray and we ask all these things in the Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. Let me welcome you all again tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see each one gathered with us here at our midweek prayer meeting. I trust the Lord will bless you tonight and encourage you around the Word of God and around the things of God. Do remember, please, the services over the weekend. Do pray for the Lord's blessing upon them. The morning worship service on the Lord's Day, 12 noon. The evening gospel service at 7. I belong to minister God's Word and the will of the Lord. I pray for the Lord's blessing upon those meetings. Plan to join with us and to invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. We also welcome those that are listening in tonight online, whoever you are, wherever you might be. We pray that you might know the rich blessing of the Lord to be your portion this evening. Now, we give a very special welcome tonight, our good brother in Christ, Mr. Samuel Adams. Our brother's come here tonight to speak and to represent the work of the revival movement, or as many of you might know it as, the Every Home Crusade. Now, we thank the Lord for this work and the work that it does in spreading God's word across the world. And our prayers, the Lord will bless our brother tonight as he brings God's word and gives the report as well. Can I say the offering tonight in its entirety will go towards that work. And our brothers also, some of those newsletters that they produce, there's plenty of them out there on the table in the porch. Do get those as you leave. And it really gives you an up-to-date written account of different things that they are involved in. So we welcome our brother. We're going to hand over now to Samuel. It's been quite a while since he's been here, but we welcome you back in the Lord's name and pray the Lord will bless you tonight. I'll let you use the lectern. Thank you.
First of all, tonight, can I say thank you to the Reverend Porter for his very kind words of welcome. It is a pleasure, privilege to be back with you tonight. And to have the opportunity to share a little bit more about the work of Every Home Crusade Revival Movement Association, whichever name you fancy. I want to say tonight as well, thank you. I know many of you have been praying for us. You've been supporting us. We want to say thank you on behalf of the whole team for all of your support. We appreciate that very, very much indeed. Now, first of all, tonight I want us to turn to God's Word. And I want to read here a few verses from Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, commencing at verse 1. So Hebrews chapter 12, commencing at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Tonight I want us just to concentrate our thoughts just for a moment or two on really on verse 2 there. That great verse, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And tonight, you know, as we look at this verse, the first thing I want us to just focus on is the cross. We talk about the cross there, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And you know, today in our world, the cross has become a very familiar thing. We find the cross pops up in all sorts of guises and all sorts of shapes and sizes and so on. And so often it has absolutely no relevance to the cross of Scripture. We see it in jewelry. We see men with tattoos. It appears all over the place and has no relevance to the Word of God. But friends, tonight the cross is the very center of our faith. And we need always to remember that. Why was the cross so necessary? Why was the cross needed? Simply to pay the price for our sin, the sacrifice. And why? Why? Because of our sin. Because of our sin, because of our wrongdoing, because of our wrong actions, because of our wrong thoughts, because of our disobedience. All of that drove Jesus Christ to the cross to bear our punishment. God commanded his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friends, this evening, let us never forget the love of the Father, the love of the Son to take our place, wounded for our transgressions. The precious blood of Jesus Christ was shed there at Calvary. Friends, this evening, never, ever let us overlook the cross. Let us keep our focus totally and utterly upon the cross. But secondly, tonight, I want us to look by faith again at not only the cross, but at the resurrection. And we see it there in that verse as well. Despised the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, he knew what was going to happen. He knew of the cross, but he also knew of the resurrection. Yes, Mark talks about it. He must suffer many things. But then, of course, there was 3 days later, he rose victorious over death and over hell. He rose the victor. You know, he knew what was going to happen. You think of Revelation 5, and it talks there about the angels all singing that wonderful chorus, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb." And friends, tonight, isn't it tremendous just to pause and to think that this is the one that we are worshiping tonight? This is the living Savior that we are worshiping, the one who is making intercession for us, the one who cares for us tonight. This is the Jesus that we are looking upon tonight, the one who is our everlasting King. And isn't it wonderful tonight that we are serving our risen Savior? But you know, it's interesting as we talk here about looking on to Jesus. You know, as we look on to Jesus, different people look from different angles. And as they look from different angles, they see a different type of Jesus in some respects. You know, this was well illustrated to me last year during lockdown. I have got a group of friends across the country. We meet only every 2 or 3 months, whatever is possible. But during lockdown, we kept in touch with a WhatsApp group. And one particular evening, it was a bit like this evening. Somebody went outside and took a beautiful sunset photo. And then everybody went out, and each person took a sunset photo from where they were, all right? And then we looked at all the photos. One photo was from the top of a hill, beautiful red sky, beautiful sunset scene. Somebody else had water in their picture, and again, another beautiful picture. Other people were living in a housing estate where there was no view, and they took basically a picture of the sky, which was a little bit, a blue sky with a little bit of pink in it. Completely different. And yet all those pictures had the same sky and the same sun, but all from different angles. And friends, tonight, as we look upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we look at him from different angles, depending where you're starting from. Here tonight, we are believers. We look upon the Lord Jesus Christ in one particular way. We're looking at him as the one who has saved us from sin, the one who has given us peace, the one who has given us the forgiveness of sins, the one who has given us eternal life. And friends, tonight, we need to be keeping our eyes totally fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It is so easy to get distracted, so easy for our eyes to wander onto other things, the cares of this world. Sometimes it's our work. Sometimes it's our business. Sometimes it's even our belongings that catch our attention and take our eyes off the Lord. You know, you think of Peter. Peter got out of the boat in the middle of the storm, and he started walking on the water to the Lord Jesus. Why? Because he kept his eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment he lifted his eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ, what happened? He began to sink. And friends, in these days of confusion, these days whenever we're living in a world of fear, whenever we're living in a world that is rejecting the gospel, a world of sin, friends, we need to keep our eyes totally and utterly fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we get a lot of letters coming into our ministry, and now and again we get letters not only saying thank you for the tracts, but sometimes people are annoyed with the tracts. There was one particular lady wrote one day, and this is what she wrote. She had been given the tract, The Forgiveness of Sins, and evidently did not like it. And this is what she wrote. She says, you know, she says, I can sin as much as I want. I can sin whenever I want. I can sin wherever I want. And I don't need forgiveness. And that is the world that we are living in today. And friends, If we don't keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then the world is going to creep in, and the fear of the world is going to creep in, and the confusion of our world is going to creep in. And then we begin to sink. But friends, whenever we keep our eyes upon the Word of God and upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we have those tremendous scriptures. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be careful for nothing. Friends, tonight, it is so important that we keep our eyes fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. There is another group of people. They look upon the Lord Jesus Christ in a different way. They are the unbelievers, those that know not the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. For some of them, yes, the gospel is an offense. They do not want to be challenged with the gospel. They do not want to face up to the fact that they are sinners. They do not want to face up to the fact that they need Jesus Christ to be their Lord and to be their Savior. And they look upon the Lord Jesus Christ in a completely different way. Yes, they don't want to read the Bible. They don't want to read a gospel tract. They don't want to talk even about the gospel. But friends, these are people also that need the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to be praying for them in these days. But there is a third group of people that I want to think about tonight. There are a third group of people, and these are people that never have had the opportunity to really look upon the Lord Jesus Christ in the way that we do. People who have never had a clear presentation of the Word of God, who have never been able to understand the Word of God, who have never heard it, never read it, never understood the Word of God. Tonight I want you to think people that have grown up in the Roman Catholic Church, people that have grown up in the Orthodox churches. We have the Greek Orthodox Church. We've got the Russian Orthodox Church. We have other Orthodox churches. And many of these people, yes, in some respects they have the Word of God, but what have they got? They've got a religion of do's and don'ts and so on. And they know nothing of the way of salvation. Think of Hinduism tonight. There we have 1 billion Hindus in India tonight. And you know, these are the people that are causing great persecution as far as the Christian church is concerned in India. Think of communism tonight. Think of China. What is China doing right at this moment in time? What they're trying to do in China at this moment in time is rewrite the Bible. Rewrite the Bible so that they incorporate Buddhist teaching, that they incorporate communistic teaching. And then the plan is that they will publish this as the Bible in China. And many believers who have never had a copy of the Word of God will not know what the difference is. And this is the way that they are attempting to undermine the church in China in these days. Think of Islam. We see Afghanistan at this moment in time on our news. And again, we think of the rise, the power of Islam, and we think of the bondage that many of these people are held in, the darkness, know nothing of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know if you've traveled before COVID. And sometimes you traveled and you went to different parts of the world, into the big cities, and you went into the center of the city, and it was all nicely set up for tourism. And lovely buildings, and everything looked absolutely perfect. Did you ever go into the back streets? And there you will find hopelessness. There you will find poverty. There you will find drug addiction, and so on. Literally, millions of people needing to hear the gospel message. And friends, tonight, how are they going to hear? How are they going to hear? Have we got a burden? Have we got a vision for reaching out to the lost tonight? You know, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ looked upon the multitudes, it says he was moved with compassion upon them. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ looked upon Jerusalem, what did he say? He cried, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." He had a compassion and a heart for the people. And friends, we need to be asking ourselves very simply tonight, what are we doing? What is my concern? Have I got the same compassion? As a believer tonight, have I got that same compassion for souls as the Lord Jesus Christ had? And I trust that you do. And that's what we in Revival Movement Association are attempting to do, is to reach out across our world tonight, right all over the place, to reach millions of precious souls with the Word of God. And that's why we have that factory. We have the factory down there in Kinallan, just outside between Hillsborough and Dromore and Dromara, in that particular area. This is one of the printing presses that we have. If somebody wants to knock out some of the lights, maybe you'll be able to see the pictures a little bit better. This is one of the machines that is printing, prints big rolls of paper, and it is very, very fast and gives us some good quality. Last year, because of COVID, we were closed for the first lockdown for 10 weeks. But even with that, we still managed to use 1,257 tons of paper in the year. This is one of the other printing presses. This is a Heidelberg 5-colour press. This gives us a lot of versatility as far as sizes of sheets of paper, weights of paper, different qualities of paper that we can use. Altogether, we are printing in 95 different languages. And you literally feed the white sheets of paper in one end and you will get the colour sheets coming out printed at the other end of the machine. Then we have the guillotine here. After material has been printed, it normally has to be cut down in size. What we're actually cutting there are CF flashcard Bible lessons. We print 8 pictures in one big sheet. Then they're all cut down, all trimmed and so on, and then go to be made into the books later on. Now, then we have what we call saddle stitcher machines. These are the machines that make up the booklets. We have 2 of these machines running. This past year, we printed 5 million Gospels of John, but also millions of other booklets, gospel booklets, all types of material. So literally, sheets are fed on one end, right round, staples are put in, all the edges are trimmed, finished books are coming out the other end. We have a total of 5 folding machines. Now, this one takes those big rolls of paper, unwinds the roll of paper. It is then cut into an individual sheet and then folded. We can either produce material for booklets, as in that case, or it can actually be used in folding tracts and so on. Whenever we're producing tracts, that machine will be producing roughly about 100,000 tracts an hour. You think that's a lot of tracts, but then whenever you think that many of our orders are for 3, 4, 5 million tracts in one order, then you begin to see the need. We have then our CF, I mentioned the CF flashcards. We have a group, a team of volunteers who come in. They work on getting these the books put together. They all have to be ring bound, then packed with teacher guides and so on. So we have this team that work on that particular side of the work. Now, just to give you an idea, this is the paper store. Every single day, on average, we are using 6 tons of paper. So that is 6 tons of paper into the print room, 6 tons out. So there is just a very, very, very fast-moving flow of paper in and out of the print room every day. We have the paper arriving. Every lorry that comes in will hold at least 20 tons. Some of them are upwards on 25 tons. That reel of paper there that is in the picture at the moment is roughly 3/4 of a ton of paper. So it just gives you a little bit of an idea. Then, of course, then we have all the sending out of the literature. Sometimes we are posting 5-kilo parcels of literature. Other times we are shipping pallets of literature. Other times it is 20-foot containers, and now and again we actually ship 40-foot container loads of literature to different countries. So there is this is moving out all the time. Literally today we shipped a container to Russia. I'll mention that later on. This is the biggest machine that we have. It prints 3 rolls of paper all at the same time. So you have 3 lines of paper traveling up there. Then they come together, they are folded here, and then they're cut into individual pages. Individual sheet sections are coming out there, and those in turn will then go to the saddle stitchers to be made into booklets. The way we operate there is we print 2 books on each section. So it's a very fast way of getting a lot of material printed. But it's the only way to get the sheer volume of material out that we need to get moving. So I want to take you to some of the countries that we're sending literature. The first country that I want to mention is South Sudan. Now, South Sudan as a country is relatively young. There was Sudan, now there is North Sudan, South Sudan. We have been shipping into South Sudan. We have been working with an organization called Mailbox Club. We print students' booklets, and we also print teachers' guides to help to teach the actual lessons. We have this amazing opportunity at the moment as far as South Sudan is concerned, because the government approached Mailbox Club and they said, could you please provide your booklets, your students' booklets and your teachers' guides for our schools here in South Sudan? This here is actually one of the official letters sent by the government. Now, they have 3 million pupils in schools there in South Sudan needing the booklets. And then all the teachers, and the teachers all have to be trained how to teach the Bible lessons and so on. So it is an amazing opportunity as far as we're concerned to be able to teach so many boys and girls the Word of God. One particular shipment, we are trying to ship a container every 2 months into South Sudan. So it's just a constant flow because we can put about 200,000 booklets into a container. Now, one of the containers arrived, and this time they wanted the material in the city of Rank, which is way up the Nile. So they loaded, I'm told what they actually did was they took all the booklets out of the boxes, they rewrapped all the booklets, then put them back into the boxes. They have reeds on the bottom of the boat. Then they built the boxes all into the boat, as you can see. Then they put a tarpaulin over that, and then the people climbed on top of that. The boat then set sail up the Nile. It was to be a 7 to 10 day journey up the Nile. But militants actually, hijacked the boat and held it for ransom. I'm not quite sure who was paying the ransom, but they held it for ransom. So it took about 2 months before the boat actually arrived in the city. And it was most interesting. We heard from a converted Muslim teacher, and he's absolutely delighted with this material. He said it's a great benefit. He's learned a lot from the lessons himself, and then he in turn is teaching the other students. We also work with Child Evangelism Fellowship in South Sudan. The interesting thing is that we've been printing Arabic for them while we've been printing English for Mailbox Club. But both languages are widely spoken there in South Sudan. As far as Mailbox is concerned, we have been helping them with a lot of other countries. This is a young people's Bible study in Nicaragua. This was in the Spanish language. So young people are coming together, and this is happening in many different parts of the world. And then at the end, after they finish their book, they are presented with a certificate to say that they have the book completed. Then we want to go to South Africa. In South Africa, we're working there with Every Home for Christ. They've been using a lot of Gospels of John. We print Gospels of John in 6 South African languages. During the whole COVID period, they have continued the distribution. At the beginning, they made up a lot of food parcels, went out, gave out the food parcels and a Gospel of John. And then they set up WhatsApp groups, and they had Bible studies on WhatsApp, and that was the way they managed to communicate. They distributed so many Gospels then that they approached us and said, look, we're running out of certain languages. Can you please help us with another container load of Gospels of John? So we did that. It was shipped about the autumn time. They've got those Gospels of John, and they're busy with the distribution of those at this moment in time. Nigeria, of course, is a vast country, nearly 200 million people in Nigeria. We have our own depot there in Lagos so that we can ship our container loads of literature into the depot, and then in turn the literature is distributed. Now, just at this moment in time, COVID has had a strange effect as far as international shipping is concerned. It used to be, before COVID, I could have phoned up our shipping agent and said, tomorrow I want to ship a container to whatever country, and the container would arrive, and I would have filled it, and away would have went. But it's not like that now. Now I'm sometimes waiting, negotiating for a week, 2 weeks, in order to get a booking. And then I still have to wait another 2 or 3 weeks to get a sailing. As far as shipping is concerned at the moment. So it's a bit haywire. For example, we shipped a container on the 1st of April to Nigeria, and it arrived just over a week ago. And we actually have two more containers en route at this moment in time. Now, the result of it taking so long to travel to Nigeria simply meant that the depot there completely ran out of literature. And they had a waiting list of 450 churches, missions, pastors, and so on, all looking for supplies of literature from across in Nigeria. So this is actually a little picture from the depot. They have a day of prayer every so often, so this was the men's day of prayer at the depot, praying for the literature, praying for ourselves, and then at a different date, they have a ladies' day of prayer. For the ministry. We are actually inundated at this moment with many different missions approaching us for literature for within Nigeria. Such is the opportunity. We print a lot of material in the Hausa language for the north of Nigeria. A lot of Gospels of John, tracts and so on. So we have a lot of opportunities as far as Nigeria is concerned. Philippines, we had a container arrive there about 2 weeks ago. There was a big consignment of material for CF in that particular container. This picture was pre-COVID, but these were all teachers that had been trained to use the flashcards. But, you know, whenever COVID came in, they carried on reaching out to their boys and girls. So you can see probably that the lady, she has wearing a mask. You can see the chairs are all split up for the children to sit on. So they're all taking COVID seriously. This was a school. But again, the great thing was they were able to get the booklets into the hands of the boys and girls. So they were getting Meet the King booklets. They were getting Every Day with God booklets there in the Philippines. So I'm delighted to say they've managed to carry on their work as best as possible in the Philippines. We've also been working closely with CF in Romania. Now, again, same problem. Couldn't have camps, couldn't have their five-day clubs, couldn't have all the normal activities. So CF Romania said, right, well, if we can't do that, we will make up packs of literature, fill up the cars, and head out to a lot of the remote villages, villages where there are no evangelical churches, and distribute the literature. And that is exactly what they did. They headed out and went to many different villages with literature. They had interesting responses. One particular village that they were in, this man said to them, he says, I've been praying that God will speak to me, but I didn't expect a messenger actually to come. Another village that they went into, they met an Orthodox priest, and he was most unhappy at the idea that here was Christian literature being distributed in his village. And he gave off and was so annoyed they decided to phone the police. So the police came and the police had a look at the literature that the CF workers were giving out. They said, there's absolutely nothing wrong with this literature at all. These people are completely free to distribute as much as they want, and therefore they carried on. So that was tremendous within itself. Just to give you an idea, last year, up to the end of the year, they distributed about 500,000 pieces of literature. Then they put another request in, and they asked for another consignment. When I totted that up, there was over 1 million items for this year. We managed to get a container printed and shipped out to them. And then Monday morning, I came into work, and there's another email from CF Romania. There's the lorry load that went out. So I had an email on Monday morning saying the cupboards are bare, we're needing another supply. So we'll have to do something about that now to keep them operational. We're also working with, I was going to read a short testimony here that I was sent recently. I had this sitting, right. This was just, Claire sends me regular little updates, but here was one little update. This was a letter that they received. Hello, my name is Emma. When I was about 10 years old, I was enrolled in the CF Bible Correspondence course. Even though I was born in a Christian family and our parents helped us children grow spiritually, the Bible Correspondence course had a big impact on my early years, and I continued to have fresh memories about you as the years passed. I kept wondering if you still existed, so I searched the internet and found out that you do exist. This is how I decided to write to you this letter. I want to thank you for all that you did for me. You are among the few people who have left a mark on my childhood. Then I was not aware of the work God called you to do, as I was too young. I know now that your mission is to share the gospel to as many children as possible. In spite of my naivety, I had enrolled many of my friends to the Bible Correspondence course, many of whom did not know Jesus, but they could learn about him through the CF lessons. Of course, I also enrolled my brothers and sisters. I remember being so excited about the lessons that I used to offer to help my friends to do theirs. My greatest joy was when at the end of every set of lessons I would receive a gift, a book, or other things. I am so thankful for what you're doing. May God help you touch many more little hearts with the gospel. You made a great difference in my childhood, and I will treasure this memory in my heart until I get to heaven. You were exactly what I needed then. I love you. So that just gives you a little bit of a flavor coming out of Romania. Speaking about Romania, there's another guy there working, Paul Williams. Paul operates a whole lot of tents and goes out into the villages right through the summer, and there's a whole team working there. So they go from set up in a whole range of different villages, and they hold hold crusade meetings in the missions in the villages. Many, many people come under the sound of the gospel. He distributes a huge quantity of literature. And then, of course, he has a children's ministry as well, reaching the boys and girls. Just there last Friday, we shipped him another 6 pallets of literature. There was over 1 million tracts in those 6 pallets. And then we have another supply of literature to print for later in the year for him. So he uses a great amount of literature there in Romania. Then we have Zimbabwe. Now, there's a guy there in the back of the picture, a guy called Walter. This is a guy that we're working with. These people in the picture are all pastors. And he has been getting the BES booklets, Bible Educational Service booklets, as well as Gospels of John. He's trained these pastors, then he gives them supplies, and they in turn head out and move out into their own areas, into their own churches and communities, and start to teach the boys and girls the gospel message through the booklets. They're used in the Sunday schools and so on as well. But then as well, there is actually many boys and girls in Zimbabwe live in farms. They don't get a good education, but they've been going into these big farms and bringing the boys and girls together and teaching them from the BES booklets. We also work with BES in many other countries. This is Rwanda. The leader of the work there, a guy called Aminadab. Aminadab had a problem. And that was he had the booklets, but he couldn't get them transported to all the schools that he works into in Rwanda. So he came up with this novel idea. And it was very simple. Everybody carry a box. Well, I have carried some of those boxes the length of our factory. So each box is about 18 to 20 kilos. There was 8 booklets for 8,000 students there. And they set off, and they were going to 7 different schools. Some of those schools literally were miles away from where they were. And they carried the boxes to the schools so that the pupils in those schools could have the opportunity of being able to study the Word of God. The idea was, before COVID, that a local pastor, a local leader, would go into the school. The entire school was brought together, and the Bible lesson was taught once a week to the whole school. Then every pupil had their own booklet, and during the week they did the Bible study themselves and filled in all the questions. Then it was all marked and so on. Now, Aminadab says, the problem is with COVID, they can't bring the whole school together. He says, we have to move from class to class, and we're only allowed to teach a maximum of 50 students at one time. And he says, we need a lot more volunteers to do the teaching. We actually have now another container load of material ready to ship to Rwanda. We hope to ship that either the 6th or 7th of September. So we're that one lined up and ready to go. I mentioned earlier on about Russia. Well, we have been working with Every Home for Christ in Russia. Very interesting what's going on out there. These folk, last year we worked with them. We sent them several million leaflets for distribution. Then last autumn they approached us and they said, look, we would like another 2 million leaflets and 4 million Gospels of John. And one of the funny little things was they wanted large print Gospels of John. We said, okay. So the first thing that had to be done is they had to apply to the Russian government for permission to import them into the country. That took several months, but by the beginning of the year, we had got the permissions and we started work. So we have the 2 million leaflets all done. They have gone, and we've been working on the Gospels of John. So today was the 6th container load of Gospels of John this year that we have shipped to Russia. 4 containers have already arrived. The 5th container is en route, and as I say, the 6th one we filled today. And that literature is moving out right across Russia in a tremendous way. I got a letter from the guy. I should be moving some pictures here. I got a letter on Monday there from Artem. This is Artem here. And he shared just a little about what is going on and some testimonies and so on. He told us, he said about 80% of churches are not interested. They're just interested in themselves. But he said 20% of the churches are totally active in reaching out to their people with the gospel message. And this is how they're going about it. But you know, he told one particular testimony that there is a container load of the Gospels that had arrived in Moscow. And he shared one particular story. He said one of the leaders was out. He was talking to people. He met this man. He said the man was thin and didn't look particularly well. He said this man had fear in his eyes. And he started talking to the man. He shared the gospel message with the man. He told the man, he says, if you don't repent of your sin, you know, you're going to end up in hell and for all eternity. But he went on and he shared about the love of God to him and how the Lord had died at the cross and so on. And then eventually he decided to read a prayer of repentance to the man. And the man repeated. He said the man repeated the prayer of repentance. He said he repeated it with much more faith even than he was actually saying it. And he said whenever that man finished praying, he said the fear in his eyes had gone. He said he was absolutely sure he had trusted the Lord to be his Savior. He said 30 minutes later, he was told the man had died. He said 30 minutes and he was gone. And you know, that just gives us a little clue tonight. Again, the importance of getting the Word of God out and into the hands of these people. Last year, not last year, actually, it was 2019 was our 70th anniversary. We put some figures together at that time. We didn't get publishing them very well with all the COVID and stuff. Some of you will maybe remember Ernie Allen. Ernie Allen wasn't particularly good at keeping facts and figures in the early days. So we didn't have any facts and figures whenever we started looking back 70 years. So we had facts and figures going back as far as 1984. So this gives you from 1984. And 1984, we used a total of 25 tons of paper. And I remember it. And I remember thinking, whoa, 25 ton of paper we have used in a year. What a lot of paper. We've done fantastic. But the last number of years, we've been using something in the region of 1,350 tons of paper. If we look back over those 35 years, we will find that we used 26,000 tons of paper in these years. And that's an amazing figure within itself. But you know, to break that down into more meaningful, in the last 35 years, we have produced something in the region of 1.5 million books. Then we produced 2.8 million sets of children's Bible lessons. We also produced 508 million other scripture and gospel booklets. And then 1.02 billion gospel tracts. Now, of course, Gospels of John have been a very important item because we believe in the importance of Scripture. So since 1994, we have produced 183 million Gospels of John. If we add all of that together, we find that we have produced 1.7 billion items of gospel literature in the last 35 years. And what can we say tonight? Nothing other than this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And tonight, we want to take this opportunity to say thank you again. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. We value it. We cannot send that literature out across our world tonight unless people here at home are behind us. But we want to say thank you for all who are behind us. I also want to say thank you on behalf of the many people who receive it. So often people write to us and they say, listen, thank you so much for the literature. Please pass on our thanks to those people who made it possible. And tonight I want to do that. I want to say thank you for all of your support. We have a tremendous number of openings, opportunities abounding around the world. I haven't mentioned half of them tonight. I think of some of the other containers that we are lining up at this moment in time. We have one to go to Mexico, actually next week. We will have another one for Mexico later on. Then we have a whole lot of material to go to Latin America. We have another container to go to Venezuela. We have containers lined up for Tanzania. Of course, we have our own depot in Brazil. They need another supply of literature, so there's just a constant flow of material moving out. As Reverend Porter has already mentioned, we have our newsletters. They're out there in the hallway. You feel free to help yourselves to those afterwards. But thank you very much for the opportunity of sharing tonight, and I'll hand back. Thank you.
Short time of prayer.
just through to about 9:15. I'm going to say 8:15, but that will be a short prayer meeting if we go back in time. 9:15. Courage, very special to take part. Men and women, you know, the line. I pray very especially for this work. I remember also the services on the Lord's Day. Brother Colin has requested prayer, and you know they're presently doing a driving gospel mission in Monysleen and drinking down this week, so remember that in your prayers. And then, of course, in a few weeks' time, Sunday school and youth fellowship and the Bethel Children's Crusade all recommencing again in September. Every aspect of this work needs our prayers, and we need to look to the Lord and give help and blessing in the days that lie ahead. Remember, ask for Brother John Dean.